everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Dadcast. I'm your host, JP, joined by my co-host, Nick Martin. Nick, how are you today?
I'm good, man. Just got done at the gym and getting ready to talk to LV, and then I'm going to do some MMA.
Oh, yes. And speaking of LV, today's guest is an amazing country singer. But more importantly, today we're going to talk about the fact that he is a dad. I'm assuming he's a dad, at least. Yeah, we know we are. Welcome to the show and Dadcast, Mr. LV Shane. How are you, bud?
What's up, guys? Thank you guys for having me. I'm doing great. How are y'all doing today?
I'm hungry.
Hungry.
I'm very hungry. I'm doing this fasting thing, so I'm like many, many hours deep. So, but we're doing okay. We're holding strong, man.
Well, man, I've definitely been there before. I actually just fasted yesterday for the first time in a while. I did 14 hours yesterday. I got to where I was doing 16 all the time, and then in the middle of our pregnancy and the middle of quarantine, things just started slipping off a little bit. But luckily, we went into the quarantine in the best shape of our lives, so it hasn't came all the way back yet.
Oh, see, I went in very poor shape, and I'm came in, you know, in the middle of it even worse. So we need to get back to, I don't know, 20 years ago, JP, and somewhere what Nick is at right now. That guy's lost like 80 pounds in the past year.
Yeah, I'm actually, dude, I gained 2 pounds, though.
Uh-oh.
Days. I'm a little bummed out. I'm up to 210. I'm like, ah.
Oh, no, man. It fluctuates up and down like 3 to 5 pounds a day, they say, anyway. So you're doing good. You look great, man.
Well, I've got a new training regimen, too. So I was doing just super light weights, lots of cardio. And then we just switched it 3 days ago to extremely heavy weights and less cardio for the next 3 weeks. And then we're going to bounce back into the more of like a CrossFit type thing. But so this has just been nuts the last 3 days. I'm like JP said, I'm starving. The heavier I lift, the more I eat.
You're not starving like I am, brother. Trust me. So, LV, talk to me, man. Tell me about your fatherhood. How many kids do you have? Actually, I already know the answer to these questions, but to everyone watching and listening, they don't. Or maybe they do, but we're going to find out right now.
Man, I've got one boy that's 15. I met him when he was 5, when I met his mother. He just started his freshman year of high school. So that one, and I've got a 5.5-week-old daughter here. So I got one in high school, one in diapers. My whole family just took off to, Somerset up the road here a while back. My little boy's got, braces. So he had to go to the orthodontist, and, mama needed some time out of the house. So they're all up there right now.
I understand. But,
yeah, man.
5.5 weeks. Congratulations on that. It's it's a baby girl, right?
Awesome.
Yeah, man. Baby girl, Zaylin Journey.
Zaylin Journey. That's a great name too.
Caleb. Thank you, brother. My wife picked it out. Well, my wife created it actually. My mom called me one time, like 2.5-3 years ago, like 7:30 in the morning. She said, "Hey, I just had a dream. And, Jesus told me that you were going to have a little girl." And I was like, "Well, that's great, Mom. It's 7:30 in the morning. I'm trying to sleep. We'll see if Jesus is right." So then when we get pregnant, we had this name Zayla picked out. But a friend of ours had a little girl, and they ended up naming her Zayla. And these little girls are going to grow up together. So we were like, "Oh, man, we got to change our name because it's too close." And my wife came up with Zaylin, and she sent it to the family one day in a group message, and her dad was like, "Oh, you don't even know what that means." And she Googled it, man. And I swear, like, let me see if it works still. The very first thing, grab my phone right here, put this on the screen. What does the name Zaylin mean? Oh, dang.
It's all right, man. We got all the time. There's no pressure here. We're good.
No, man. Well, it used to. As soon as you Googled it, it popped up "gift from God" at the top. So I was like, "Man, that's wild." So I don't know how y'all believe. Everybody can believe however they want to. That's the magic of living in this country. But
what does the name cool. Zaylin mean? Oh, it came up as Jaylin on mine.
Where are you from?
We're from Oregon, so I'm from Grants Pass, and then JP's in Medford, which is about 30 miles apart from each other.
But
I love Oregon so much. I come to Eugene and Roseburg every year.
Oh, really? Nice.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, have Roseburg, you gone there?
30 minutes up the freeway from us.
Yeah, have you gone there yet this year?
No, I have not this year, but I'm on my way to Portland Monday.
Crazy. You're going to be 3 hours away, man.
Come see me. I got a little show going on up there.
Ooh, good stuff. We need to also maybe, you know, in the future plan, you know, hey, Nick, the Hive or something along those lines, an LV Shane show a little bit closer to our neck of the woods.
Down at a winery in California in November, if I'm right. That I definitely want to come see you then. That's because it's a beautiful venue, but I do want to try to get you up here to this. We're doing these live stream events that are amazing.
Yeah, dude, that'd be sick. I love coming over to that side of the country. I never really got to experience it until I started doing music. And since then, I made friends with a guy in Eugene. His name's Josh Bidwell. He used to be a football player for the Packers. He was a kicker. And I met him along the way, and he has a charity golf scramble every year. And that's why I come over.
That's where I've heard of him. Yeah. Like, I know that name. Yeah. Okay.
The Bidwell Foundation. Yeah. And they play there in Roseburg every year. So it's a really cool spot. We go up to the zoo there in Roseburg, or the safari, the wildlife safari.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Very cool. Yeah.
Yeah, my kids love the wildlife safari. And it's funny. My lady is not a fan of ostriches. And, you know, they just come right up on you, and seeing her panic and freak out over, it's just an ostrich, man, or an emu or whatever, something, but it's hilarious.
You ever seen the stand up with Kevin Hart about the ostriches? Oh, you got to watch it, man. Yeah. It's hilarious. It talks about this time when Kevin Hart and this ostrich kind of got into a staring match. And then they ended up using this skit and putting it in one of the Jungle Book movies that he was in later on in life. So just check it out. It's hilarious.
That's amazing. Awesome. So I understand that. So your boy is your stepson, which obviously the song My Boy, right, came from. Mm-hmm. And now you have this brand new little itty bitty baby girl. I know we're fresh into it. It's only 5.5 weeks old. I apologize. I just referred to her as an it. My bad.
Hey, man. These days, what do you know? You don't know till they're 18.
True point. But have you seen the parallels between the two? Have you, and I know it's so fresh, but is there any difference? I mean, at least for LV Shane and parenthood between the two yet?
Man, the only difference that I've noticed, really, that it's just kind of a sad difference, is that I didn't get to experience this with my boy. You know, I really wish I would have been able to be there for these moments. And like, it's hard. I feel like it's a lot harder to come into a child's life when they already have a foundation of people around them, and then try to let them know that you want to be a part of that foundation as well, you know. And it's like, we're 10 years into that program right now, and I still feel the weight of that task from time to time, you know, and just like making sure that I'm doing what I need to be doing as a father or father figure or whatever, to let him know that, you know, I want to be there for him the same way I want to be there for her.
Right. So,
but other than that, man, I mean, it's just like, it's just love, man, and admiration.
I'm in the exact same boat as you, almost. My oldest, she is 16. She is also my stepdaughter, but I came into her life at about 3.5, 4 years old. And then we had my son and then my other daughter, who's 11 and 8 respectively. And, you know, I'm her dad, period. But she also has her real dad, who's an awesome guy and also very much a part of her life. So, you know, she bounces back and forth between them, and it's been like that from the beginning. But, you know, it's the same thing. It can be tough sometimes because, you know, juggling the two, and, you know, you got to figure out what your role is, at least for me, figuring out how to balance the two, you know, delicately.
Yeah. Delicately is the key. And I want to touch on that too. That's I'm glad you brought that up about her dad being in the picture and being, you know, great father. And it's like, for some reason, like, it seems like somewhere along the way, this song for some people has diverted from being a song about love and, you know, a person coming into a child's life to be another person to love them. And it's kind of, to some people, it's been an insult I've discovered lately. And it, to me, like, I don't see how they could misconstrue that, but I guess if I'm looking at it empathetically, I could see how someone who is freshly out of a relationship and maybe not being able to spend time with their child as much as they would want to, because, you know, divorce can just be nasty sometimes. And I could see how that song could stir up some negative emotions for them. But hey, man, this song has never been intended to be a slap in the face towards biological fathers or any kind of father. You know, I think one guy in particular, really, his story really touched me and sticks out amongst all the stories I've heard. And this guy was messaging me on Facebook a bunch, and I liked him. He spoke my language. So I was like, man, here's my phone number. Just call me. I'm driving, you know. So he calls me up, and he's like, man, you know what? My wife and I, we've been separated for about 3 years now. She's married a new guy, but, you know, we got an 8-year-old little boy. And he said, I just wanted to let you know I sent your song to her husband because I feel like that's what he is to my son when I'm not around. And I was like, dang, man, like that's I feel like that's how we should be more, right? Like, I feel like if we swallow our pride and we accept our fate in situations, but we know if we take an objective view at the other people involved in our children's life, you know, as long as we see love and compassion and teaching and all of these things coming from those people, I don't see how in the world we could ever have an issue with those people being in our children's life, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah,
I'll give you the viewpoint of a guy that has an ex that's remarried and has that my kids have a stepdad. I'll tell you, it was 100% like extremely hard realizing that there's going to be some other guy in their lives. And then, you know, once you get past the pride and the, you know, this I'm their dad kind of thing and realize, hey, this guy's there to protect them when I'm not around, like you were saying, and love them and teach them, then it gets okay. But the initial shock of it is definitely like, whoa, you know?
Yeah, man, I've never been in your position, right? So I don't know how that feels, but I used to get pissed off when I would get these messages from people like talking. This one guy in particular, he was just dogging me all over my social media. And I responded to him. Finally, I usually don't respond, but I was just like, cool story, bro. You know, whatever. And I was a smart ass about it. Well, then I went and looked at his Facebook page and I kind of crept on him a little bit. And I noticed like 3-4 months before that, every post he made was with him and his son. And then after this certain point, all of a sudden it was like it went from all these great posts of him and his son, like smiling and spending time together, to being pissed off about baby mama and her new boyfriend and like he's not getting to see his kids. So I was like, of course this guy's pissed off, right? Like if I put myself in his shoes, I would be pissed off too, you know. But I can't put myself in that guy's shoes. I feel for those guys now though. So like now when I see those messages, instead of being mad, all of a sudden I'm just like, dang man, I hope this guy and his family or his child or his ex or whatever are able to get in a better place to where this song doesn't hurt them, but where maybe there's someone that comes into their life that everyone is happy about being around their child, you know? So yeah, that's just something that's been really weighing on me lately because it's only been happening recently. And I guess maybe because more and more people are hearing the song, but that's been a tough one to kind of navigate.
Yeah. On a positive note though, like when my wife and I first heard the song, our friend, our manager, Ben Carey, is in kind of the same position as you. So we called him up. We're like, Ben, dude, you got to check out this song. This is you and Jaden, dude. This is you guys. This is how you feel about Jaden. And so he checked it out. He's like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. Now it's, there's good things and there's always going to be bad things.
Nick dropping names once again. Ben Carey. Yeah.
Hey, Paul McGrath, McGrath, no. Told me it's not cool to name drop. So.
Oh, we have no shame. We name drop every single time, Dwayne Johnson. Yeah. And great. Hey, speaking of, it's a good segue. LV Shane, if you would be so kind and you are willing and able, since we are talking about said song, how about my boy right here on Dadcast?
I'll play it for you guys the way I've been playing it live here lately. He ain't got my smile. That don't bother me a bit. He's got somebody else's eyes. I'm seeing myself in. I'm holding on to every moment. God knows I missed you. The day we met, I knew I had some catching up to do. He ain't my blood, ain't got my name. But if he did, I'd feel the same. I wasn't there for his first steps, but I ain't missed the ball game yet. And that ain't ever gonna change. I can never walk away. Yeah, he's my son, and that's my choice. He ain't my blood, he's mine. He's my boy. He hit me like a train. First time he called me dad. In a three-stick figure crayon picture with all of us holding hands. His mama said, I understand if it's too soon to miss. I didn't let her finish. I took it to the kitchen and I stuck it on the fridge. He ain't my blood, ain't got my name. But if he did, I'd feel the same. I wasn't there for his first steps, but I ain't missed the ball game yet. And that ain't ever gonna change. I can never walk away. Yeah, he's my son, and that's my choice. He ain't my blood, he's mine. He's my boy.
We knew when we put this song out that maybe there was a chance it was going to touch people that were in similar situations as I was. But we knew for a lot of those folks that one word in particular was going to be wrong, so tried to go back to the drawing board and fix it. She Saturday morning cartoons. She's aching to sleep in your room. She's bigger than the plans I had. She's making me a better man. She ain't my blood, ain't got my name. But if she did, I'd feel the same. I wasn't there for her first steps, but I ain't missed the ball game yet. And that ain't ever gonna change. I can never walk away. Yes, she's my baby, my whole world. She ain't my blood, but she's my girl. Yeah, he's my boy.
So good.
You gave me the heebie-jeebies, man, and then you switched it up and went right into my girl part, and boom. And I mean, that struck a major chord with me, man. Well done. My boy / my girl, Elvie Shane, yeah. Live on Dadcast. Thank you for that, man. That's amazing. Good stuff.
See, it's all love, man. There ain't nothing but love in that song. And it's so cool, too, the different ways people have told me that they've been able to relate to it from foster parents, step parents, adoptive parents, coaches. I had a surrogate mother come up to me at a show one time and be like, you know, hey, you know, I'm still very heavily involved in this child's life that I was a surrogate for. And I feel like that's our song, you know? So thanks to all the people out there, enjoying the song in so many different ways.
How long into, you being the father role to your son, did you write that song?
I believe, let's see, 2016. So I met her in 2012. So about 4 years. He was probably 9 years old. And dude, you know, I get a lot of credit for this song, but you know, there's three other stories inserted into this song. This is me and three guys sitting on a back porch, talking about this stuff. And out of the four of us, three of us were in some kind of relationship that could be associated with either like step family or the second verse. Hit me like a train the first time he called me dad, and a three-stick figure crayon picture with all of us holding hands. That came from a story of one of my co-writers showing up to his girlfriend's house one evening and a little boy walking in from school and having a drawing of them. And it said, dad, me, and mom. And, you know, dad and we were able to do this in the music video too, but dad had long hair and mom had short hair, you know? So if you've seen the music video, you see that on the, it just so happened that the actors we picked ended up having dad had long hair and mom had short hair. So it was very obvious in that picture to him that day that that little boy was calling him dad. And we were like, man, what a beautiful picture of, you know, and also it just goes to show, you know, how relatable the subject is with the four of us being able to write this song. And I always go back to God, but it took me 4 years to write another song anyone was interested in. So the proof is in the pudding. You know?
How many songs are on tap for that baby girl of yours, huh? I know there's something swirling around and up in your head, man.
Yeah, man, I'm trying to figure something out. You know, I try to let them come to me more than chase them. Sometimes I only chase them when I get a hold of them a little bit and they try to run away. But something will be coming. You know, we got this next, you know, I've been working on this record that we're going to eventually put out for my whole life. And now I'm still in the process of working on this record, but making plans for the next record too. And kind of putting that whole thing together. So
I'm going to put a challenge out for you, man. You ready?
All right.
I challenge you. Don't chase it, but you know, eventually that song written and performed when Brett Young closes for you at a show.
All right.
You know, you're not opening. All right. Brett Young's closing. Because right. we've had Brett on the show too. I don't know if you've ever performed with him or not, but that's the status I want to see LV Shane at, man, doing a show that large.
I've played a couple shows with Brett. I haven't met him yet, but I've never heard anything but good things about him. I know his crew, some of our stuff got left behind at a show one time, and part of his crew made sure that it got back to one of my guys. So kudos to those guys. Yeah.
Yeah, he seems like a super nice guy. I've met him a couple of times, and he's been super nice and just super gracious of what he's done and everything. So,
yeah, man, he kind of got started. I didn't know, not that he's old or anything, but he got started later on in the game, you know, and has really came out with his own sound and done his own thing. It's been really cool to see.
Yeah, his guitar player Noah is actually a friend of mine, so. So that was kind of cool. His guitar player had a band called Anchor and Bell before, and I've worked with them in the past. And Noah texts me, he's like, dude, Brett Young just picked me up to go on tour with them and ended up becoming part of the band shortly after that. So that's what I was pretty cool.
That's cool when you start getting those texts and those phone calls from friends that you've been watching grind for so long and chase after a dream. And then you start seeing them, you know, see that stuff come to fruition for them. It's, I always really enjoy that. This group of guys that I wrote My Boy with, there's four of us there, and there's, you know, four or five more that were part of the original group. And now that entire group of guys has either got publishing deals or record deals or something going on. And they, you know, those were the guys that I ended up, you know, planting roots with, because I seen the work ethic in those guys. And when you see it in somebody, you know, it's there, you know, they're headed somewhere. So
mm-hmm. That's cool.
Just try to hop on the train. Let's ride, boys.
Yeah, buddy. And so I like to analyze all of our guests' backgrounds every time we do a show. And you know what? That chair you're sitting in, man, that's the best looking chair I think I've ever seen, man. I don't know if it's new old or if it's super old and just well taken care of, but I love it.
It is super old. Let's see. The tag's still on it. 1961.
61, man. I wouldn't say even older than that, but
it's the original upholstery and everything. So evidently these two chairs came out of some hotel in Nashville back in the 60s. And I ran into this little old lady that had them, and I said, man, I want those chairs. How much you take for them? She said $200, and they're like in perfect condition. I was like, deal.
Nice. So, sold.
Yeah, man, this is pretty cool. My mustard crushed velvet. Two doves kissing each other and cherub angels in the side.
Right. I know. Wow. It's just so unique and awesome, man.
Yeah.
That is good stuff. Okay. All right. Enough about chairs and backgrounds. My goodness. Your baby girl. So 5.5 weeks, man. Yeah. Unfortunately, as you actually discussed in the song, My Boy, didn't get those early years, but you get the early years and the early weeks with this baby girl. Tell me about that first diaper change experience, man.
Dude, my wife didn't have to change a diaper for 4 days. I I watched her give birth. Dude, literally, I delivered this child. Like, I had Janis Joplin playing on my laptop in the corner of the room. The doctor comes in. I was like, I want to catch her. And they thought I was kidding. I was like, no, like, seriously, if you don't care, I would like to. And he said, well, hey, I'll sit behind here and show you what to do. And so he pulled up a chair behind me. I got all suited up, and he showed me how to help my wife out and all this stuff. And if you've been there, you know what's going on. And this baby comes out, you know, and I'm the first set of hands to ever touch her, and that means the world to me, you know. But I get her out, and I'm like, she starts coughing and crying. I'm like, damn, Doc, I got to put her in and pull her out, man. This is awesome.
Me too, man. My lady had a water birth for our youngest daughter. I got to catch her coming out the water too. And that's a crazy experience because, you know, she's out, but still in, you know, an amniotic state in the water. So there's no breathing yet. It's you know, I'm just looking at her, and it's as if she's still in the womb. And that lasted for like 10 seconds, but it just felt like forever. And then lifted up, turned mama around, and put on chest. And that's when, you know, doctor came in and cleared the throat, and we got the first cries and whatnot. But that, I mean, that is literally just give me the chills right now thinking about it every single time. And man, it's incredible, man.
It was the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. I was not, everybody asked me, they're like, it didn't gross you out. I was like, hell no, I could have ordered a pizza and while I was doing it.
Yeah, me too. Like, I don't understand. It's
incredible. And maybe it's like I've helped pull calves out before, you know, and so maybe like from that, I don't know. I just don't have a weak stomach. But we get her out, and I lay her down on the little examination table, and I'm like, hey, baby girl. And she goes, hey. And I walk her over to my wife and lay her on her chest. And my wife's like, hey, little baby. And she's like, hey. And she's never made that noise again since we've had her. Like, she literally said, hey, to us. And the nurses, the doctor, everybody was just like, oh, my God. So that was really cool. I mean, I know obviously she didn't really say hey, but I'm counting it as her first words.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Definitely count it. So, man, it's just going to get better, too. I have my little guy's one, little over one right now. And the stuff he says is just, he's just now starting to pick up words. And my wife was doing something yesterday in the kitchen, and she accidentally said a bad word. So she's, something dropped out of the fridge. She's like, oh, shit. And Liam, my little guy's like, pulls out a drawer. He's like, oh, shit. I'm like, oh, no.
And then you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah. So, yeah. So now his new thing is, oh, shit. So,
oh, man, you got to get that on video, man. There you go. There's a viral TikTok video right there, my friend.
Either that or it's a viral TikTok video of bad parenting.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's not supposed to be good, but it's always hilarious.
The best thing is when he says so I've been really big on the whole masking up thing and going to the grocery store and stuff. And somehow I had said somebody not wearing a mask was being an, I was talking to my daughter, because she's like going out and she wants to be with her friends. And I'm like, don't be an idiot. Wear your mask. So we're in Walmart picking up milk for the baby. A lady walks by us without the mask on, and one of my little guy points, goes, idiot. Yeah. I'm like, no. So yeah, so I got some nasty looks, and you know, at least I had the mask on, so she didn't know I was from Downcast.
She couldn't see what you look like. It's hard exactly. to get embarrassed with the mask on, ain't it?
Yeah.
Oh man. Well, that's funny. My buddy's little boy, he always thought the F word was F-E-C-K, so he got to where he would say, what the feck? All the time. He'd be like, he would shoot his cap gun, it would run out of caps, and he'd be like, what the fat?
I should teach my boy that. Just have him use that. I'll be good with it. No, I don't think I'd be good with it, because he's still using it for its purpose. LV, where are you currently located? What state?
I'm in Kentucky. I'm in some would consider it Eastern Kentucky, but the people in Eastern Kentucky would probably slap you for saying that. So I'm kind of East Central Kentucky.
I'm just going to call it Kentucky. So,
yeah.
I'm curious to see what the state of the world in, as far as if you're cool with talking about it, state of the world as far as COVID is concerned. How is it in your neck of the woods?
I'll show you. Here, I'll show you. Hang on just a second.
Ooh, we're getting movement, man. I love this.
Exactly. This is how it is.
Oh, you're good.
That's what I need in my life right now.
It's easy to not give much of a shit as long as you're hanging out right here.
Right.
No, man, it's a you know, I come from Nashville. I was in Nashville for 5 years. This is my wife's hometown. It's a small town, Kentucky. For the most part, man, I mean, I went to Walmart today. People are kind of walking around wearing their mask in Walmart. Some people are, some people aren't. The vaccination thing. I know a lot of older people who are like wanting to get vaccinated or have gotten vaccinated. A lot of people my age are very against it. I've been vaccinated. I was kind of anti-vaxxer for a while, and I was just like, hell no, that shit's too early. It's too early to put it in my body. But I was going to wait till like next year or till FDA approval or something. But with me being out on the road so much, I thought if there's any like smidgen of hope that I could prevent my family from catching this, I'll go ahead and get the vaccine. So I did that, and now you know, I felt good about it, and I have since I got it. I had zero negative side effects other than chills, and I slept better than I ever slept in my life the night after I got my vaccine. But but now, like, we're finding out, you know, it doesn't mean you're not going to catch it and you can't spread it. So, you know, so now it's just like trying to figure out, like, with the rest of the family, dude, it's important to, I think, the thing is people don't want to feel like they're being forced to do something, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I feel like we should all want to take part in a vaccine or whatever to help out our fellow man, right? But it's like everything's been so split, and you see that even more, I feel like, in small town, rural, you know, USA than anything, because everybody's so strong headed and old fashioned and everything. And so it's just, I'm trying to be a little bit of a light where I can be, you know, but also have a little bit of that in me, you know what I mean? So it's just like,
right.
There's part of me culturally that just wants to throw a finger in the wind to certain things, but I try to, the thing that really got me to change my mind was I just decided one night I was going to get on YouTube and watch videos I didn't agree with instead of watching everything that made me feel better about what I thought. And what I noticed is, you're asking how things are around here, and I'm kind of not really answering that, but maybe giving a perspective that people from around these parts could maybe benefit from is like, if everybody over here feels like this is 100% the truth, and everybody over here feels like this is 100% the truth, then you know something's wrong, because this can't all be right and this can't all be right. So somewhere in the middle, right, is where we need to find a little grace. And I will say I'm starting to see more and more people in these smaller communities, like where we live, that are contracting the virus. And it makes sense, right? Because we don't interact with the outside world as much in the places like, you know, Monticello, Kentucky, as we do in Nashville. There's not an airport for 2 hours, you know, and everybody here goes to the same place to work every day and comes home every afternoon. But now that it's starting to get here, like, you know, people are starting to really see that this isn't a joke, you know, and there's people are dying from this. I know of two people under 55 years old last week that died here in this town from it. So,
oh man,
it's kind of the same thing going on here. It's just, we're actually, unfortunately, now the worst city and area in the country as far as infection rate percentages are concerned. Whereas when this started last year, we weren't, we were all good, but it is caught up. And because it's been so long, there's a lot of those hard-headed, you know, individuals, like you said, just same thing here. And it's hard to please them all. I myself, I'll admit it. I've admitted it before. I'm vaccinated as well. I was in the same boat. I wouldn't call myself an anti-vaxxer, but I wasn't sure. I was like, I'm probably not going to do it. But my lady's very immune compromised. When I found out it's starting to affect kids, I'm like, this is a no-brainer. And then, 2 months afterwards, it got, you know, FDA approved regardless. So I'm good, just like you. I feel very good about my decision. I don't agree with the fact that some powers that be are forcing it upon people, telling them they have to do that to keep their livelihood. I have an issue with that. It should be your choice. But along with choices come absolute responsibilities, and you know, with your freedoms, you got to make the right decisions within those decisions if you decide not to. But yeah, man, it's just a crazy world we're living in, man, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. And, but at the same time, hey, man, you can't want to not take the vaccine and not wear a mask everywhere you go and want that freedom and then get pissed off at a company or some other entity that wants you to wear a mask or be vaccinated to come into their facility. You know, like that should be their freedoms and choices too. What I have a problem with is when the government steps in and starts mandating those things and saying you have to do this or you have to do that. So, dude, it's a big thing in music right now. And like, I know everybody's been talking about this shit for 2 years and we don't have to linger on it, but something that's really interested me lately is a lot of people are coming out and saying, hey, you either have to be vaccinated or you have to have a negative test result to be able to come to this show or this event. Right. So here's the problem.
I know where this is leading.
Yeah. If we know now that even if you're vaccinated, you could get it and spread it. So are we really caring about our people coming to the concerts, people coming to the shows? Are we caring about them or are we caring about trying to push the rhetoric? Because the real thing should be, hey, everybody needs a negative test result because we don't want, even though this person's been vaccinated, we don't want them to be asymptomatic and end up getting a person they're sitting beside. Right. Sick, right?
So you can test them all. If that's what you're going to do, test everybody.
My take on what happened is it the information is coming so quickly that venues and promoters were like, okay, let's put these into place to make it look like we care and we're doing the right thing. And then it turned into, oh crap, people that have the vaccine can still get the virus and still spread it. So now, you know, trying to get all these venues to put in another step to get into the venue I think it's going to be pretty hard this year.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, man. And it's hard. Like the tests are probably expensive. They're getting harder to get hold of in places. Yeah. So it's like, what do you do? And, you know, we want to work and we want to, you know, but people need to be safe too. But my thing is, man, I just wish we could figure out some way to word it and go about it that quits creating more division. I feel like when you say it that way, you're creating even more division, right? And which is in turn pissing people off that don't want to be vaccinated. They're pissing them off even more and turning them against the vaccine because they're just like, screw y'all. You ain't telling me how to live my life, you know? So it's wild out here, man. It's Wild West.
People need to get back to being kind, be respectful, realize we're all different. We all have difference of opinions.
Yes.
All get along.
Can we get back to 1994?
Oh, I just wanna go back come to 1994. On. I'm in.
Exactly.
I am in. 1 year out of high school. Friggin' just unbeatable. Oh, dude, gosh.
Yeah. I was raising hell on a Huffy down a gravel road.
No social media. Life was so much easier back then.
Oh, right? On our kids, they don't get it. They think, the internet went down. Life is horrible. Oh, kid, you don't have any idea, boy. You have no idea.
You don't know shit. It used to take 15 minutes to change pictures on a screen.
Right? 3 days to download that song? Come on.
And that's part of the issue too, right, man? Ever so easy for everyone to have an opinion and to say their opinion without any consequences these days. So it's just like my buddy said that everyone who comments on social media should wear a haptic suit.
Yeah.
So it's like if you say something, if you're an asshole about something online, you just get a punch to the gut.
Yes.
You know? You understand that that's what's coming, but it's worth it to you to say it anyway, you know?
Oh, that would be, we could probably make an incredibly large amount of money if we could implement that somehow. Just like a super futuristic AOL chat room where you got to wear these haptic suits in, you know, you got to sign a disclosure and you can come in. Here we are, you know, no holds barred, but keep in mind, you're going to get punched in the face if someone disagrees. Oh, you know, man, what? I'd be in there and be like, punch, 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 just regardless. You know, Nick, did you do a fast five? Did you come up with a fast five for LV to set today?
Oh, I did, but let's do, are you up for one more song?
We'll do another song. I was getting there, my friend. I'm curious.
I just downloaded the LP and it's freaking amazing. Well, so like it's been on my playlist for the gym for the last few weeks. So I'm like, it's good stuff.
Okay, fine. Do you want to do a song first? It's up to LV.
I don't care.
Well, LV, before you do that, you want to meet my daughter? She's literally calling right now. She's over at grandma's house real quick. Let's see if I can get her on. Avery? Hi, baby. You want to say hi to country superstar LV Shane?
Hi. Hi, baby.
What are you doing, hello, little love? It's all right. It's Tuesday in between noon and 1 o'clock. You know what that means, right? It's podcast time. So I love you, and I have to call you back. LV Shane on Dadcast. What you got for us, man?
We weren't the ones running up and down Main Street. We were the back row, sixer in the front seat. Knuckles busted, burning rubber, chasing one thing. Counting pennies on the counter for a switch and swing. Friday night light, boys, raise them up high, boys. Throwing bottles at the sign, lighting up the sky. Running out of town till we ran out of road. Running our mouths of the we didn't know. Just young enough to see who want to be old. Drawing on love, cold beer and cheap smoke. Drawing on love, cold beer and cheap smoke. She wouldn't pom-poms, running for the prom queen. She was a last dance, Mary Jane kind of freak. She liked to go fast. I had a need for speed. I ain't no wonder why her daddy never liked me. Raised up a right girl, never home on time girl. Sitting by my side at 11:59. Running out of town till we ran out of road. Running our mouths of them we didn't know. Just young enough to still want to be old. Running on love, go beer and cheap smoke. Running on love, go beer and cheap smoke. I'm stealing Friday night light, boy. Raise them up high, boy. Stop sign, bullseye. She hits it every time. Running out of town till we run out of road. Running all miles, nothing we don't know. Just young enough to still want to be old. Running on love, cold beer and cheap smoke. Running out of town. Running on. Just young enough to still want to be old. Running on love, cold beer and cheap smoke. Running on love, cold beer and cheap smoke.
Cold awesome. Beer and cheap smoke. I'm in. I'm in for both. Let's do it. And all it, right. And the bourbon. What are you drinking on right there, LV?
Man, I got a little Blanton's I got for my birthday. You ever had any Blanton's?
Have not.
Comes with there's like, let's see, there's like seven different little.
Is that the Headless Horseman? The leg. Well, oh, no. Okay.
It's just a. It's a bottle that you buy for somebody for like the birthday or something. I ended up racking up three of them for my birthday. So come on.
There you go.
Oh, good stuff. And you're almost out. I think you poured the last of it earlier, didn't you?
There's two more bottles back here.
All right.
You go on all day.
Amazing, oh, man. Thank you for performing for us live here. I know a lot of artists we'll have issues with performing on less than admirable conditions as far as sound and audio comes out, man. I'm glad you did it, man.
No, thank you guys. It's just all a bunch of stories. You know what I'm saying? As long as you can hear the stories, that's all I'm worried about.
Right. Yeah. I, you know what, for me, and I think, I think that's the point you're coming across. But for me, that story and music, as we know, songs can take people to different places depending on, you know, their personal experiences in life. But that song right there, I've never heard it before. It took me back to high school.
Yeah, man.
That's I don't know if that was your point you were getting at, but
back to Friday night.
Friday Night Lights, man.
Right after the game, going to the pizza place in Merlin, beating up the opposing team.
That's where that song's headed. And when you hear that song in recorded form, you'll notice a little bit of a direction starting with that song, going through some more songs. So that's all I can say. But just follow along the story when you get to hear it.
All right. So you mentioned earlier in the episode about the golf tournament that you do come to in Portland. Are you a sports fan, LV?
Man, if you want me to lie and say, yeah, I will.
No, I want it. I want the honest truth, man. We don't lie here.
No, man, I gave up on sports when I was made linebacker at 115 pounds soaking wet, and Mark Williams was the guard, and he was really pissed off at me about talking to his girlfriend. And, you know, after that day, I was just like, you know what, sports ain't for me. I've never really been a baller, man. I just picked up a guitar and started doing that. And, you know, there's a couple ways to get girls to look at you in school, and that's either playing music or playing sports. So I chose music, and they still didn't look at me. So.
Well, I bet you they're looking now, and too bad. What about your boy, man? Is he sports inclined, artistically inclined?
A little bit of both, man, but he's very naturally gifted at sports, football, basketball, baseball, whatever. But he's also been playing video games for 2 years now because of the pandemic, and he's grown a little lazy. So I told him he's either going to play sports or go make tacos or hamburgers in town somewhere. So he right now he's helping the football team out. Just like he's a guy recording plays and stuff during mm-hmm. the game so they can review and stuff like that. And then baseball season rolls around. He says he's going to get back into baseball, but he's always been really, really good at baseball. Just supernaturally talented.
Nice. Who's his team? Who's his baseball team?
Man, I don't think he has anyone in particular. Depending on which baseball guy I run into these days that I've met along the way, it's their team. Whichever their team is his favorite team.
Nice. That's cool. That's a pretty smart way to handle things, man. All right, there's a couple of my questions. Nick, I want to hear some Fast Five. So Fast Five,
I'm going to go back to one of JP's questions.
Okay, but hold on. Let me explain what Fast Five is.
Oh, yeah, my bad.
Five fast questions for LV Shane. You can give us an incredibly lengthy response. You can give us a one-word answer. You can do whatever you want. It's the Fast Five. Nick, go.
It has absolutely nothing to do with Fast and the Furious. Vin Diesel. He has kids.
Okay. What is it?
Nick's trying to make bad jokes. Just ignore him. Okay.
Name drop Vin Diesel's kids?
Well, if it's going to piss him off and get him on the show, heck yeah.
Does he have kids? The only thing that I know about Vin Diesel is that he likes to sing very very feminine style pop covers on YouTube.
Right.
And he pisses off Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I know is he is Groot. But, you know, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, man, anyway, Fast Five.
I'm a big Vin Diesel fan, but evidently there's this guy I did not know, but he sings and he dances. So he's got a record coming out.
Yeah.
I actually read that he was more into like that kind of performance other than action movies when he first started.
I didn't know, man. I know that he does a killer job playing those characters that he's played in all these movies, the badass characters.
Yeah, he's a little scary. I wouldn't mess with him. But
I can't believe Xander Cage is a singer dancer.
Right?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Sorry, Vin Diesel. I had no idea how it got here. I apologize. But hey, Vin, if you want to be on the show sometime.
Though, came on the podcast. We could clear Vinny. All this up.
We could.
Vinny.
There he goes. He's name dropped.
Dadcast.
We got LV name dropping for us now. Yeah, we're going places.
Exactly. Yeah, all right. Bro. So Fast Five. First question. Does your son use your star power to meet people?
I just asked him today if he, because I ran into somebody when I was picking him up from school for his orthodontist appointment, And I asked him, Dad, I said, do people ask you about me at school? And he said, yeah, sometimes. And I said, is it helping with the girls at all? And he just grinned real big. So I don't know. I don't know if that means yeah or if he
that's a yes. Stupid. That's a yes.
Awesome. Maybe.
So yeah, so maybe. That question came from, you just toured with Miranda Lambert. So, you know, I'm a big Miranda fan.
Dude, Miranda's awesome. She was the kindest person I've ever been out on the road with to date. Every night after the show, she had her Airstream out there, which she has set up as a bar. Everybody, free drinks, lawn chairs sitting out. Everybody's sitting around hanging out, listening to 90s country, having a drink.
Very cool.
And yeah, man, she was just super friendly. She made sure and gave every person that was out on the road opening for her some, you know, one-on-one time, talk to them. And she's just as sassy as everyone thinks she is. Like, you never know if you're about to get a big hug or get your ass slapped sometimes. but she was super cool, man. I can't wait to run into her again.
I love that. Miranda Lambert closing for LV Shane. Good stuff.
That's awesome. Yeah. What's your favorite thing about being a dad?
Dude, I mean, honestly, just the pressure of the responsibility of it. Like, I feel like it just steers my life into a much better direction and keeps me grounded, keeps something in my sights. Whereas, you know, used to, I could just go out and fall deeply into my debaucherous nature and not think twice about it. But these days it's like, if I start to get a little wild or a little bit of that older me creeps in, then, you know, I have these two constant reminders, not only two, but three, and my wife as well back home to remind me, you know, what I could be sacrificing if I go too far off in the pudding. But, but that ain't to say I don't enjoy being a little bit of my old self every now and then, you know, but they just help put up the boundaries, you know what I mean? And make me a better version of who I am.
Very cool. So you're back home in your hometown. What is your go-to order at your favorite restaurant?
Well, this is not my hometown, so I would get in trouble if anyone from my hometown seen me say that. My hometown is Caneyville, Kentucky, but right here in Monticello, Kentucky, where I live now, there is this awesome place called the City Pool Hall, and it's this little old beat up ass looking restaurant on the square with three pool tables in it, but they make the greasiest, most amazing hamburgers on this flat cast iron skillet all day long. It is incredible. So I'm trying to get them to name this burger because I always order the same way. It's single burger, two slices of cheese, onion, honey, or onion. Oh.
Dear ketchup, God,
mustard, hot sauce, salt and pepper. Yeah, there we go.
You're friggin' killing me right now, Elvis Shane.
So good.
Killing me.
So I'm so I can't even do the bun, but that sounds like amazing just with the lettuce wrap. Oh.
Oh,
so good. And you get a lettuce wrap too. Yeah.
Question number 5. Love that. We got to move past the food or I'm going to freak out.
All right. I'll skip the next food one. Sorry.
Is that seriously another food question?
No, I was just going to make one up just to piss you off.
Oh, well, that wouldn't surprise me.
All right.
Do it. So do it, Nick. Yeah, yeah. On the spot. Go ahead. I dare you. Come on. Come up with a food question. Top of your head.
What's your favorite dessert?
All right.
Oh,
dude.
I think he's pouring it.
So, no, I actually make this thing where you put croissant rolls in a glass. All my family loves this. I put croissant rolls in the bottom of a glass dish. And then I pour strawberry applesauce in it. And then I mix butter and brown sugar in a little pan and heat it up together. Make some caramel, you know, pour that inside there. Another layer of croissant rolls, more butter and brown sugar, and then half a Sprite and throw it in the oven for like 30 minutes at 350 and eat it with some ice cream. Put that in your bowl and eat it, JP.
I'm in. You send me that recipe. I'll make that.
Gosh.
I can eat tomorrow night or tonight. We'll make it. We will make it.
All right. Woo. Last question. If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
Oh, with anything on it? Right now? In this world?
quit hating each other because you disagree. That's it.
Love it.
That's the message everybody needs to hear right now.
Simple to the point, and then with a period right at the end.
Yeah.
I'm going to add a question because I'm surprised Nick hasn't added this one. Because I ask it of a lot of the guests when we do the Fast Five. It really intrigues me. LV Shane, you can, and I'm tweaking a little bit, Nick, here. I'm tweaking the question just a tad. LV Shane, you can perform with any artist or band, living or dead. Who would it be?
Living or dead. I would love to share a night at Red Rock with Steve Earle.
All right. Great answer.
It'd be amazing.
It'd be cool.
The last guy. Who was it?
The rhyming last night, but I missed it.
Who was it? It was Ken Block said Tom Petty on one of our recent podcasts.
Ken Block is in the car driver, Ken Block?
No. Sister Hazel.
Ken Foote.
Okay.
Foote? Okay. Did I get the name wrong?
Ken Block. His name's Ken Block.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's two guys named Kim Block.
Yeah, yeah. Not the driver. Fantastic. All right, man. Well, goodness. So what's on tap? What's next for LV Shane?
Man, we take off this weekend. We're heading on the road for our first weekend with Brooks and Dunn on their tour. Super pumped for that. Pretty much that'll finish out our year. I got a couple little one-off gigs here and there. But I'm going to take as much time as I can, November through February, with the family and take off next year. And hopefully, you know, this song is continuing to go up the charts. I would love to see it go number one, but where it's at right now, it's been pretty amazing to experience already. Hopefully, man, I just continue to find balance between being a family man and being an artist and an entertainer. And I'm able to move forward and make my team proud, make my family proud, and be able to lay my head down at night and be comfortable with the message that I'm putting out to the world.
Love that. Where were you the first time you heard yourself on the radio?
The first time I heard myself on the radio, I believe I was right down the road here. On a local station, Z93 in Monticello, Kentucky. I was on what's it called? Old 90, they call it. It's called Gap the Ridge, and I turned in, and my song came on, which was an older song that's not out there anymore. But that was a local station playing it, and you know, small town Kentucky. The first time that I ever heard my song on the radio after we came out with the single and like officially went to radio, I was in Houston actually on my way to play a radio gig, and I was in a rental, and on the radio station the song came on, they were talking about me, so I thought that was pretty sick. There's so many different forms right now of radio, right? Like you have your small independent stations, your local stations, you have media based, billboard, all that stuff, but you also have Sirius, the Highway, and those guys have been awesome to me as well. So
yeah, we actually had Stormy Warren on, and that was pretty cool. And
I love Stormy, man. I haven't met him in person yet, but I've had a lot of fun talking to those guys on Zoom and stuff. And you know, those guys they're a really integral part of all of this as well. There's a lot of people who, you know, they come up and they make it on the highway, and you know, then radio takes notice sometimes of those things. Yep. A media base and billboard and takes notice of that. So those guys are out there really helping out up and coming artists. And I got a lot of respect for what they're doing on that platform.
Fun fact, your boy JP here has worked in radio for the past 20 years of his life, mostly corporate terrestrial radio, your major FMs, at least wherever I've worked, Southern Oregon. But I left terrestrial radio about a year and a half ago, right before pandemic hit last year. And I pursued finishing the opening of my own radio station. It's called Pirate Radio, P-Y-R-A-T-E Radio, free plug. Go check it out. Go download the app, party people. And I am my own boss. I had to unlearn everything I learned in terrestrial radio because the rules don't apply with pirate. And it's been so just awesome being able to do what I want with no one telling me how to do radio, because I'm not perfect, but I'd like to think I've got a really, really good grasp on how radio works because I've done so many different genres, worked for a few different companies, and now I can apply that all in my own station. I'm talking too much. Long story short, Elvie Shane, do you have any tracks that have, I don't know, like a vacation-y tropical feel to it? Because that's kind of my deal with pirate radio. It's, you know, like the beach tunes, the Zac Brown bands, the that feel of country music. And I would be honored and have no problem putting you in rotation on my radio station, which has about 100,000 listeners worldwide every single day, give or take.
It's not out in the world yet, but we just worked up a song very recently, called Heartbreaks and Headaches that I wrote with my little brother, actually, that's going to be on the record, whenever it hits the world.
Okay.
But look out for Heartbreaks and Headaches when that comes out. That's got the vibe you're looking for.
All right. So when that comes out, I'm going to put that out in rotation on pirate radio. So you can add that to your accolades of being on the set list, on the tracks, in rotation on a real radio station, man.
Come on, baby.
Yeah.
It's awesome that you're doing that, man. It's important to follow your passions and, you know, be your own boss when you have the opportunity to be. And the downside of it all is that I'm learning these days when you do what you love, you sometimes can do it too much. You would think the whiskey's got to me the way I'm talking, but I've literally only had like maybe a shot and a half over the last hour. So
have you eaten today?
I have. I've ate plenty. So it's just my hillbilly speech impediment, I guess. It's working against me today.
I've also realized that when you follow your passions and you don't work for someone, you actually end up working twice as hard. But that's all right, because I enjoy doing it.
Yeah, you work twice as hard, you work twice as long. Sometimes that can be a blessing and a curse. But yep. I like what you guys are doing with this, man. I appreciate you. You know, I think it's cool to highlight not only, you know, being a father or a parent, but, you know, bringing people on from different walks of life and you know, trying to get their stories, because it's all different, especially like, When you come into someone's life as a step parent or whatever, you know, you adopt a kid or whatever, it can be such a struggle. You know, I wrote my boy with those guys from a perspective of hope. Actually, it wasn't like an acknowledgement of my relationship with my son at the time, but it was more of a hope of that's what it could be one day at that point. And also like, a way to let him know my intentions coming into his life when he was old enough to hear the song and understand it. So, you know, I appreciate the outlet, man. And I also just appreciate outlets like this that allow us to have real conversations with each other. And I think that so much gets censored these days and people, you know, they expect to hear one thing, or they hear someone's music and they automatically think that they are this way. And, you know, hopefully I don't disappoint anybody, but at the same time, I am me, and that's who I'm going to be. And I just want other people to be themselves, and I want us to accept each other for who we are and move on through life and just have each other's backs and have cool conversations, and things like this allow us to do that. So thank you guys.
You're very welcome. And on that note, I don't think I could have ended an episode any better. So I'm just going to end it right there. Ladies, gentlemen, wherever you may be listening, however you may be listening, however you may be watching this, whenever that time may be, put your hands together in the car, wherever you're at, for Mr. Elvie Shane. Thank you so much for coming on Dadcast, man. You are amazing. And of course, to everyone listening and watching, thank you so much for your support. If you're interested in being on the show, go to our website, dadcast.co, drop us a line. We'll get you on the show. We'll talk, we'll chit chat, we'll have a good time. If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe, like, comment, hit the bell, all that good stuff. And we will see you on the next episode. One more time, Elvie Shane.
God bless you guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, man.